Welcome to Next Level Christianity, a podcast designed to teach Christians biblical truth, help apply it to their daily lives, and gain true clarity of what it means to follow Jesus. Our churches and Christian communities are being influenced by cultural and worldly views, and few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is John Alkire, along with my beautiful wife, Carrie Ann. Please join us as we have important conversations where biblical truth and life application collide. We hope these episodes help equip and motivate you to take your Christian faith to the next level. So grab your Bible and join us in the conversation. Welcome to episode number 16 on Next Level Christianity. I am your host, John Alkire, with my best friend across from me, beautiful wife and co-host, Carrie Ann, is in the house.
Hey, you guys.
What's happening? We hope you're all having a great fall season. We have hit daylight savings. It's getting dark early. November is here. Wow. Can't believe November's here. Time's flying. We're heading into the holiday season, which is an awesome part of the year. Hopefully that's going well for you. This is a season where we like to say we go broke. We have our oldest son turning 16, so a driver in the house. But turning 16 here, Monday or the 11th. And then Thanksgiving comes around it. And then my daughter turns 14 in early December. And then you...
I turned 29.
Okay, she's lying a little bit. she's a little older than 29. But then it's her birthday, and then it's Christmas, and then it's New Year's, and you guys get the point. After New Year's, we're broke. But anyway.
We're not,
but we feel broke. anyway, it's a lot coming at us, but we're excited. Okay, we had a huge hit on our last episode. Carrie rocked it. Was so powerful with her 3 points in a deep conversation about biblical women. It's still being downloaded probably as we speak. It's just gotten a lot of attention. And honestly, it's the whole podcast is starting to explode, and we just really appreciate the support.
Yeah, thank you guys.
All the comments. Carrie's gotten some friends that have reached out. They're listening to it from afar, from here in town. We've got people we don't know that are reaching out. Kelly... who has definitely done an applaud on, I think, every episode. Kelly, we see those applauds through Anchor. We appreciate you listening to them.
Thanks, Kelly.
Appreciate the support. Please share it to your friends, family, whatever, if it's helping you and challenging you like we hope it is. And we're just blessed to be able to share the gospel, share scripture and the truth with whoever's out there listening. So if you're a regular listener, please rate us on iTunes. Our data tells us that iPhones are the biggest download for these, and iTunes is where it's coming from. So there is stars, and we've got only 6 right now, so 6 ratings, and we got a lot of downloads and not a lot of ratings. So please take a moment, go down and hit a few stars, let us know what you think, and comments. I mean, please, I would love to see comments, good, bad, whatever you feel. We would love to hear from you, and we'll read every single one. So please feel free to do so.
Yeah. Thank you guys for doing that for us.
Yeah.
Today
we are going to be having a conversation with Christian parents. We're focused on Christian parents of all ages, even if you're soon to be, but we're going to focus a little bit of that attention on the age group of middle school children and high schoolers in the house. We have that ourselves. We are going to talk about the church and the youth ministry programs a little bit. But I want to start by saying this is not to tear down the church at all. We support the church or the efforts on shepherding our kids. The youth pastors who have dedicated their lives and profession to this. But we are going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about is youth ministry biblical, but really going to focus on in this episode, and the title of it is, do you know who's shepherding your children? Who is shepherding them? And we're going to get into this. What is actually happening in the gatherings that you drop your kids off to? And who's ultimately responsible for shepherding God's children? And we're going to get deep into that. So we would all agree that youth ministry is a huge focus and fixture in the modern church. But there is nothing, and I mean nothing, found in Scripture teaching or supporting it. And we believe biblical principles should be the model for all ministries in the church, including youth. And so since there is youth ministries, we just believe wholeheartedly that there needs to be biblical principles being done in there and being taught in there and embraced. But unfortunately, many youth ministries are not teaching biblical truth or principles, and they're being built around commonly youth culture, fads, games, junk food, a whole heck of a lot of fun, which I'm not against fun, and a sprinkle of some Bible verses and some pep talks from some guest speakers. And like the modern church, they have followed this focus on bring a friend and evangelism versus focus on equipping and teaching the flock. And church is for the saints, both children and adults, and we're going to get into elders and pastors and overseers and all that, but they need to be looking over the flock and teaching the flock. So the question I would have to ask is, do your kids truly know who Jesus is? And I mean the Jesus that is in the Gospels. Because we know he's alive today, but what do they know his story? What he taught through the Gospels, the Sermon on the Mount, which is a powerful 18-point teaching that he did, which is his first sermon when he started his 3-year journey, and the most recorded, most powerful, was the Sermon on the Mount. Do they know it? Do they know God's purpose for their lives, which is to be sanctified, to be holy, set apart, or how to even live a biblical life, and what does that even mean? If not, how do these children have a chance to be a disciple or even survive in school surrounded by worldly influence and teachings 40 hours a week? What's a ministry's goal?
To make disciples.
It's to make disciples. That's a ministry's goal. How do we make disciples? Mm-hmm. We got to teach them. Equip them, prepare them to follow the commands of God and to share the gospel. Are our children attending youth ministries prepared and capable of doing these things commanded of us? Are they becoming disciples? You might ask, well, what has been commanded to us? Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And I'm going to paraphrase what Jesus said, but he says, go make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Holy Spirit, or knowing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you until the end of the age. Jesus left this final charge to his disciples, but we know as Christians, it wasn't just for the disciples. It was for anybody in the future and everybody who decides to follow Christ. That is our commission, is to make disciples of all nations and preach the gospel. But here's what we found out. Jesus taught his disciples for 3 years before he left them and before he gave the Great Commission. Carrie and I literally just learned not too long ago in Galatians, so write this down, 1:18, the Apostle Paul, who was transformed from persecutor to follower, spent 3 years. And you'll find it in just a little verse of Galatians 1:18. So you got to look for it because you would blow right by it. But did you know he actually spent 3 years preparing for his ministry to go preach the gospel to the Gentiles, which he was called to do by Christ? He had to prepare. He had to learn. He had to know what it was like to follow Jesus. He was a religious man. He was head smart. He knew it all. He knew all the rules. But he had to get ready and prepared to go out and fulfill a great commission that we were all called to.
That's right.
So how do we prepare for this? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And if you follow our podcasts, this comes up almost in every episode, I think, but so we'll read it again.
Yeah.
All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. As Timothy says in here, the focus, the Bible is useful for training in righteousness, right? That's what we're supposed to be as believers. We're supposed to follow and be righteous, sanctified, but also equip us for every good work. Ultimately, what it means to be a true Christian. So from here, I'm going to let Carrie kind of break down kind of what's the Bible saying about discipling our youth or discipling in general? What does that look like? And we're going to break down, since we're talking about the church a little bit, we're talking about who's shepherding your children. There's pastors and there's things in the Bible that describe what all that qualification is and what that looks like. So let us teach a little bit on that. And there's a lot more in there that we're going to kind of unload on. But Carrie, why don't you take us through and talk about pastors and descriptions and what, those, what this
absolutely.
All means.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to talk about four different words. They're all interchangeable. So we're going to talk about elder, pastor, teacher, overseer. So all four of these words are used throughout the scriptures. And let's just break down a little bit about what that is. The word pastor is only mentioned once. The word elder is mentioned 5 times. The word teacher has 55 verses on the topic.
Wow.
Yeah, so some great stuff. Let's give you some scripture, and then we're going to pull out some definitions, okay? Acts 20, 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So, one, that scripture is really important.
It's super powerful.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds you, this is God's church.
Yeah, and look, it says God, which he obtained with his own blood.
Yeah.
Like, that's big time right there.
And so he has put the title overseers on those who take care of the flock.
Mm-hmm.
So big deal. The job to oversee and to shepherd is really one of massive responsibility. And so let's talk about another scripture. John, you want to read
this one for us? First Peter 5:1-2. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly.
Okay, awesome. So good. Let's start with this fancy word, exhort.
Yeah, that was a little rough. I was like, am I saying that right? Exhort.
Exhort. So not a word that we use typically in our everyday language. It simply means to strongly encourage or to do something. So again, let's talk about our words. Elder, overseer, pastor, teacher, to strongly encourage or urge to do something. Elders are to exhort. They are to shepherd the flock of God that is inside their charge. So that is our teacher definition. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists. Thank you. Evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. So this is just where he's talking to the entire group that is leading the church.
So they're like all the same. Like, yeah, they're all following in elders, pastors, overseers. There's like, you don't just put a pastor over here on the right and go that this is a different thing. And elders over here, they're kind of within God's house, within shepherding. It is the same responsibilities, same characteristics, which I think we're going to learn, right? It's all kind of all the same. Okay,
absolutely. Cool. Pastors are to feed the flock, which is also the same role as an elder.
There you go. Okay.
So you're hearing the same theme being repeated. We just want you to hear the different interchange of the words, the definitions, the scriptures that keep pointing us the same directions. So again, pastors, elders, teachers, overseers are the same. Let's find out what the characteristics are that are listed in the Bible of what an elder is. Okay. So 1 Timothy 3:1-7.
Okay, so we're going to break down qualifications for all of these, really. Pastor, elder.
Correct.
Okay?
Correct.
So we're going to, and this is in the verse, but we're just going to kind of chop it through little bullet points.
Yeah.
And what are those characteristics?
Okay. Blameless as a steward of God, above reproach.
What's reproach mean?
Above reproach, it means that their character cannot be questioned.
Because they live a life that you can't really find a lot of fault in.
Correct.
Again, not perfect.
Somebody cannot punch holes well, maybe he might have too much wine when he's out. Yeah. You know,
maybe, he gossips a little bit.
Maybe the right. family behaves badly. Yeah. Maybe somebody is dressing inappropriate inside their household. So really, there is nothing that someone can punch holes through. No yeah. Swiss cheese.
Wow.
That's a big deal.
Big deal. That's a big word. Okay. Right. Cool.
All Instagrams are all tidy.
Right. There's just no, no way you're going to catch this person's.
Correct.
In a negative light with the way he
because
lives.
Because his heart life. Is in the yeah. right place. Yep. Not because has a checklist of things that he has to.
Got it.
Have marked.
Love it.
Okay. Faithful husband to his wife. Faithful husband to his wife. So this is a big deal. Faithful husband to his wife.
Well, I hope so.
Well, it is a big deal because it means that we need to have pastors that are married.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to have youth pastors that are married.
Yeah. So if you have your kids in a church and the person that's overseeing them or shepherding them isn't married, that's not biblical.
Not biblical. And just the logistics of it. Safety for all parties well, yeah, involved.
There's a lot there. But yes. But mainly just... The bottom line is what we're saying is it's clearly not biblical.
Right.
And for them to be able to shepherd and relate to your kids is a little different because they don't have kids and they're not married. Right. So
they need to be married.
Anyway.
Bible says it crystal clear.
Perfect.
All right. Temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable.
Okay. So again, just characteristics, good characteristics, respectable person. Self-control. They don't get boisterous. They don't kind of get loud-mouthy or anything like that. Whatever that personality looks like, they're just temperate, self-control, respectable.
Yeah, hospitable. Able to teach.
Yeah, you got to be able to teach. Hello, right? If you can't teach, then you're not really going to be able to shepherd a flock of the biblical principles.
Correct. You really, yes. Not given to drunkenness. Gentle. Not a lover of money, manages his own family well, sees his children obey him with proper respect. So you're hearing this a little bit repetitive, but these are different verses. Well, and they really give those characteristics that we want you to see. And 1-7 really is going to lay that out for you.
Yeah, just a reminder, we're right there. 1 Timothy, if you're going, what is this? I never heard of it. 1 Timothy 3:1-7.
Correct.
Our characteristics for pastors, elders, overseers, church, anyone in the church, but we're going to talk that it does affect us as parents, but we'll get to that.
Hit that last one.
But manages his own family well. Mm-hmm. Okay. Listen to this. Once again, married, because you have kids. Mm-hmm. Got to have kids. And that the kids obey. And it says in the Bible that he manages his own family well and see his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone can't manage his own family, how can he take care of a church? Think about the pastor's kids that don't respect him. Just think about that. I'm gonna let that sit.
Correct.
You know what I'm talking about. Pastors you know whose families don't respect them, are rude, are not respectable, and are not being managed well. And you can tell by Instagram accounts now. There's a lot of ways to find out what your pastor's kids are doing. So, unfortunately or fortunately, but if you're going, that's not really a Christian living person, and they're like out of control, and that's a pastor of your church, it's a problem, and it's written here. These are the guidelines. We are not living a biblical pastoral role right now with that.
Correct.
So it's very clear. He may not be a recent convert is the last point. Think about what we talked about with Paul. There's evidence. The disciples were evidence. They didn't just get turned loose when Jesus showed up and went, hey guys, I picked you and now I'm going to have you go out and build the church. He didn't do that. He had to train them for 3 years before he left them. And there was times in the Bible as we share that Jesus and the disciples were like, hey guys, I need to go. I got to go to the right hand here of the Father. I got to go. Can you figure it out? Right? And then Paul gets converted on the road, and he goes to following and immediately baptized and like ready to go. But he needed time to be shepherded, to be built up, to learn,
To understand his relationship.
And understand. So he may not be a recent convert. If there's a pastor that literally just became a Christian or an overseer and just gave his life to Christ and he's running a youth ministry or running a group, it's not biblical.
Not biblical.
Okay.
Not biblical.
Okay.
So good stuff there, you guys. I know that is a lot. So as you are thinking about your high schooler and junior high pastor, this is just a really great litmus test to run a check, ask questions, be bold for our children.
Who's shepherding?
Correct.
Our children.
That's right.
And then in Timothy, it goes on, I just wanted to say, it goes on to talk about deacons, okay, which we didn't bring up here. It goes on and talks about deacons after these verses of 1 through 7, of 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. And it says the same thing. And if you see the characteristic, a little bit different, but man, they're pretty much right in line with what you just heard us talk about as far as rules and roles in the church. And like Carrie said, just run a check. You know, just think about some of these things. Are the pastors in your church, or especially the youth pastors, shepherding our children in line with what the Bible commands of their lives? Do they meet these qualifications? Again, nobody's perfect, but are they meeting these qualifications?
And we're not asking for perfection. We are asking for the biblical standard to be met.
But you know what? Our experience is maybe not, to be honest with you. Maybe they're not meeting those qualifications.
Correct.
Some are not even married, as we mentioned. Very young, or lack of experience in biblical leadership, scripture, mm-hmm. parenting. Again, check on Instagram some of their kids and how they're conducting themselves. You'd be shocked if you haven't done that. You'll find that maybe they're not managing that family very well. So you just got to ask, is that good for my kids? But we're letting these ministries and pastors be in charge of spiritually leading our children in their faith. And I just ask again, how is that working for you? Are you seeing fruit in your children's life? Are they learning the gospels, how to live a biblical life like we talked about? Are they being equipped and becoming a disciple? Is that ultimately what we want? Or are they part of the world? Are they part of the culture? Are they just this Christian label that are just part of that worldly influence and it's just, we just let it go? And I would tell you, the answer is probably you're not seeing a lot of that. We'd even make the case that it isn't really the pastors of the youth ministry's job to do this. It's not. We have experienced and are confident that they aren't totally qualified or equipped to disciple our children. And only, let's think about this, these pastors in our churches, if we're going to youth group regularly, are only spending 3 to 4 hours a week with our children when adding youth group nights during the week or Sunday school or service. So who is truly responsible for shepherding our children? You and I, as Christians and as parents. It's our responsibility. Our society has taught us that we need to outsource everything, all of our children's training, of everything. But the Bible is clear that Christian parents are ultimately responsible. So again, our kids who are spending 40 hours a week in school, 9 months out of the year, under worldly influence and teachings, and if you don't believe me, you're crazy, while we outsource them to the church and the youth pastors who are unqualified based on biblical standard and embracing youth cultural environments with little discipling, and we think they're going to have, and we're going to have children who are being trained up in the way they should go. Parents, it's up to us. We are going to be accountable to God and how we shepherd our children and ultimately pave the way of their Christian paths. There's powerful statistics on how kids at the ages we're talking about are leaving their faith and the church entirely right now. And I think hopefully you can see why. I will start with a powerful truth on us as parents as we move into the final piece of this. Timothy, two books authored from Paul to young Timothy, who was sent to lead the church of
Ephesus.
Thank you. To counter false teaching, by the way, which is a big problem right now and still is today, and uphold sound doctrine and godly principles in the church, young Timothy. He was a brave man, and Paul called him a true son in the faith. Where did Timothy get his training?
He got it from his family. His grandmother and his mother, who shaped his life, promoted his spiritual growth.
So you can find this a little bit, again, one of those that you'll miss if you don't pay attention. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Check it out. You will see that Timothy was influenced and was a powerful mover and shaker for Paul in leading the church. He was shepherded and trained by his mom and grandmother. Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. I had mentioned earlier, there's so many kids, and the statistics, look them up on Google, of the church children from the ages of middle school and high school who are leaving in droves their faith.
Yeah,
and sure. Look at Proverbs 22:6 says. They won't ever leave it. The Proverbs is talking about train your child. It's us as parents.
Yeah.
It's not talking to the pastors.
No, and the kids will leave if they're not grounded in truth. I just want to remind you guys, the reason why we have the capability and the strength is because we have elders and pastors pouring into us. And if we have done our homework as parents, people are pouring into us inside of our church so that we are able to minister to our children. No one is saying that you have to do all your homework, although we do want you to read your Bible.
Yeah.
We do want you
Statistics say that Christians, about 15%, I think 19%, actually read their Bibles. So,
but as the elders and the pastors of your church, they will teach you and instruct you. And that is why God has set up that system. Remember, we've talked about this before. God is a God of order. So mm-hmm. He's created an order for us so that we have a powerhouse to train our children.
Absolutely.
So you are not doing this by yourself and without a church body. So I just wanted to make that crystal clear.
Totally.
You
yeah.
have people pouring into you. Your pastors, your overseers, your teachers, so that you can pour into your own children.
Yeah, and having mentors, Christian, well-lived women mm-hmm. and men, find them. You can pull on them as well to help you in this too, right? So you're not alone, you're right. And there's mentors and there's your church. But biblical principles we keep hammering, right? Make sure we're in places where biblical principles are being taught. Yeah. And being utilized. It's biblical, obviously. You're hearing it, but it's how you're going to get equipped the best. Yeah,
for sure.
There's going to be no confusion. Ephesians 6:1-4, children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate, which means, in definition, that's irritate or frustrate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Parents. That's what it's saying. And man, I've had times where I've exasperated my children and I've felt the conviction. And so I know what it's saying here. Like, sometimes we get frustrated and irritable, but don't get your kids that way, because we need them to look up to us. They need to be able to follow our commands, and you don't want them turned away from you. So this is Ephesians 6:1-4 on it. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15 says that as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ.
Excellent.
And my favorite verse that takes the stance of true Christian families is from Joshua 24:15, where he's challenging the Israelites at this moment to make a choice to serve the Lord. You can choose to not be an example to your children by your own lifestyle, or Are you reading the Bible? Are you praying with your children? Is your faith shared and opened in your household? Or are you relying on the church to do all of it? Joshua says this, and I believe is the same challenge for us today. He says, Joshua 24, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose this day who you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And if we're serving the Lord in our households, we are going to be shepherding our children accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So the question might be, how do we take over the spiritual development of our children? Hopefully you're thinking that way. It's a great question. It's challenging. It's not easy. And by the way, what Carrie and I are going to dump right here is not, it's not perfect. It's not something we found in books. It's just something that we believe and we talk through, right? And then we have some 5 points we want to talk. I'm going to let you kind of share them, Carrie. But yeah, this is stuff we're doing. We're learning. We're figuring out. But again, I hope you took this and who is discipling your children and you realize that, man, I need to be. Me and my husband or me as a mom and a dad, right? Whatever the situation is, we need to be. And so how do we do it?
Yeah. Okay. Ready? Number one, we need to be living a biblical life, following in line with the characteristics of an elder, overseer, and a pastor.
So you're saying in 1 Timothy 3, 1-7, the characteristics of an elder, and later goes into deacon, we as parents under the same characteristic qualifications?
That's the standard that we want to strive for as we are raising our children.
So Christians are under, at the end of the day, the same things we talked about.
Yeah.
How is our life in compared to those characteristics? Great barometer.
Yeah.
Right? Are we above reproach, right? I don't know. You know, you just want to run a check on that. But that's incredible. So I believe, and Carrie and I believe, and I make it kind of this fun, but we believe that, yes, it is for pastors and elders and all those people in those roles. But to take a step further, we, Carrie and I, believe it's for anybody who says, I'm following Christ and I'm a believer and a Christian should follow those guidelines.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to make that clear.
Absolutely.
So one, living a biblical life.
Yep. Number two, study and reading your Bible with your children. With your children. Either with them as you're doing your study, either doing verses with them as they go to bed, either memorizing them, whatever you see, what you and your spouse have set up, study and read the Bible with your children on a regular routine.
Yeah.
Not just.
And so I know there's somebody, because one of the common things is like, if you haven't been in the Bible, and I just shared statistics earlier, it's very low, but you're sitting there listening, hopefully, and you're like, you know what? I need to do that. We need to do that.
Yeah.
Man, common things. Where do I start? Where do I start? They got this 66 books. I got this big old book. Like, it's like these words, exhort and exaggerate, whatever I said.
Exacerbate.
It's like all this stuff. It's like, where do I begin? So I would just say, man, just grab your kid, middle school, high school, whatever, or get your family around the table on a Sunday, each week, every day, whatever you can do, and go, just go in the Gospels.
Yeah.
Going to John, it was one of my favorite stories of books that John writes of this intimate relationship and depiction and historical teaching on Jesus. So you could just sit and read John, you know, and each little, a couple chapters, a couple things with your kids and just let them learn who Jesus was and what he did and how he lived his life. So just start in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, wherever. Work backwards. So
yep.
If you don't know where to start, there's a good place to start.
That's great. And there's a lot of fun character stuff in there, too. The kids will enjoy it. Our bigs really liked it. Number three, prayerfully seeking wisdom on parenting your children.
Power of prayer.
Yeah. You know, a lot of us, you know, whether you have Christian parents or you have non-Christian parents, your parents did things right and your parents did things wrong. So you just really want to be coming to the Lord and saying, what do I need to change?
Yeah,
that's been good. From the past.
Yep.
And what do I need to continue to pull from the past and pass on as a legacy.
Yeah.
So just really presenting that to the Lord all the time.
Yeah. And especially if you haven't been doing some of this if you haven't been shepherding your kids, it's going to be new. It's going to be it's going to seem like a lot and overwhelming. Prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. And so prayerfully seeking his wisdom on parenting, mm-hmm. God will answer your prayer. He wants the best for his children. Those are his children. Carrie and I are believers. These aren't our kids, they're his kids. So as you go to him, he's going to hear you. He's going to listen to you and ask for guidance.
Use your Bible. Number 4, use your Bible to guide them through worldly situations.
Yes.
So you heard us say
we've done this a lot. We do this a lot.
14 and 16. That Bible is not outdated. Mm-mm. It really does apply. We've been hitting Proverbs a little bit, just talking about the wisdom that we can apply from mm-hmm. Proverbs. What does that mean? And it really does apply to all the current situations that we are walking through.
Absolutely.
We have one in private school, one in public school of those two. And they still face neither one of them are sheltered. And so the Bible helps us walk through these situations with them.
And you got to know it, right? Like she's saying, right? Number 2, studying, reading the Bible together. You're going to learn together, but as you're doing it on your own and God, this is how God speaks to you is through his word, and the Holy Spirit works with how the Holy Spirit's going to work in you and with you to what you're going to take out. You're going to start learning scriptures as you do that. You start memorizing scriptures, and you're in those moments, because we're there, where we're just able to drop some stuff right there without even looking in the book. And then sometimes we'll take in the book and we'll go, let's look at this situation. What does it say here? And it's powerful.
Your littles are watching. So we've got little ones too, 6 and 8. And so our littles are watching.
Yeah.
Watching these conversations, learning.
Sure.
They're really absorbing just as much as that we're sharing with the big kids too. So finally, number 5, you guys, find strong Christian mentors to help and guide you. You may need to pray for these people. I know we had to pray for a very long time until
they're hard to find.
We had a rock solid couple enter into our life, and we know that these are just a phone call or a text away. This family has age groups that are way older than us, some in the same season, and we can definitely get an answer that we know is based upon scriptures and not based upon anything else.
Yeah.
And that's what you're looking for to help you guide and shepherd your children.
Yeah. And it's hard to find, but when but again, prayer.
You gotta pray.
Because they're there.
They're there.
And God will open the door, and you'll run into them. And yes, they're super important. They'll help you stay on course and be accountable. So again, a lot here. Again, episode 16. Who is shepherding your children? It's supposed to be us. Hope you enjoyed this. Again, 5 quick recap. How do I do this as parents? I haven't been doing this. How do I do it? I got to live a biblical life. I got to make a commitment. Studying and reading the Bible, prayerfully seeking wisdom, in using the Bible to teach and guide our kids through situations, and then finding strong Christian mentors. Those are 5 ways that they can help you there. So again, thank you for joining us. We are excited to be back on, and we're excited to be back to you soon. We hope you are having a great holiday season coming up. And thanks for joining us. Rate us. Share it. Let people know. Get it out there. We hope you have a great week.
All right. Bye, you guys. God bless you. Bye.